Bambanga la manura la
ria. 8. His tongue is stinging. He realizes that, back in reality, he has forgotten to swallow his beer. It's ironic that Juanita has come into this place in a low-tech black-and-white avatar. She was the one who figured out a way to make Avatar show something close to real emotion. That is a fact Hiro has never forgotten, because she did most of her work when they were together. And whenever an Avatar looks surprised or angry or passionate in the metaverse, he sees an echo of himself or Juanita. The Adam and Eve of the metaverse makes it hard to forget. Shortly after Juanita and David got divorced, the Black Sun really took off. And once they got done counting their money, marketing the spin-offs, soaking up the adulation of others in the hacker community, they all came to the realization that what made this place a success was not the collision avoidance algorithms, or the bouncer demons, or any of that other stuff. It was Juanita's faces. Just ask the businessmen in the Nipponese Quadrant. They come here to talk turkey with suits from around the world, and they consider it just as good as a face-to-face. They more or less ignore what is being said. A lot gets lost in translation, after all. They pay attention to the facial expressions and body language of the people they are talking to. And that's how they know what's going on inside a person's head. By condensing fact from the vapor of nuance. Juanita refused to analyze this process, insisted that it was something ineffable, something you couldn't explain with words. A radical rosary-toting Catholic, she has no problem with that kind of thing. But the bitheads didn't like it, said it was irrational mysticism. So she quit and took a job with some Nipponese company. They don't have any problem with irrational mysticism, as long as it makes money. But Juanita never comes to the Black Sun anymore. Partly she's pissed at David and the other hackers who never appreciated her work, but she has also decided that the whole thing is bogus. That no matter how good it is, the metaverse is distorting the way people talk to each other, and she wants no such distortion in her relationships. David notices Hiro, indicates with a flick of his eyes that this is not a good time. Normally such subtle gestures are lost in the system's noise, but David has a very good personal computer, and Juanita helped design his avatar, so the message comes through like a shot fired into the ceiling. Hiro turns away, saunters around the big circular bar in a slow orbit. Most of the 64 bar stools are filled with lower-level industry people, getting together in twos and threes, doing what they do best, gossip and intrigue. So I get together with the director for a story conference. He's got this beach house. Incredible? Don't get me started. I heard Debbie was there for a party when Frank and Mitzi owned it. Anyway, there's this scene, early, where the main character wakes up in a dumpster. The idea is to show how, you know, despondent he is. That crazy energy. Exactly. Fabulous. I like it. Well, he wants to replace it with a scene where the guy is out in the desert with a bazooka, blowing up old cars in an abandoned junkyard. You're kidding. So we're sitting there on his fucking patio over the beach, and he's going like, woom, woom, imitating this goddamn bazooka. He's thrilled by the idea. I mean, this is a man who wants to put a bazooka in a movie. So I think I talked him out of it. Nice scene, but you're right. A bazooka doesn't do the same thing as a dumpster. Hiro pauses long enough to get this down, then keeps walking. He mumbles Big Board again, recalls the magic map, pinpoints his own location, and then reads off the name of this nearby screenwriter. Later on, he can do a search of industry publications to find out what script this guy is working on, hence the name of this mystery director with a fetish for bazookas. Since this whole conversation has come to him via his computer, he's just taken an audio tape of the whole thing. Later, he can process it to disguise the voices, then upload it to the library, cross-referenced under the director's name. 100 struggling screenwriters will call this conversation up, listen to it over and over until they got it memorized, paying Hiro for the privilege, and within a few weeks, bazooka scripts will flood the director's office. Whoom! The Rockstar Quadrant is almost too bright to look at. Rockstar avatars have the hairdos that rock stars can only wear in their dreams. Hero scans it briefly to see if any of his friends are in there, but it's mostly parasites and has-beens. Most of the people Hero knows are will-bes or wannabes. The movie star quadrant is easier to look at. Actors love to come here because in the black sun, they always look as good as they do in the movies. And unlike a bar or club in reality, they can get into this place without physically having to leave their mansion, hotel suite, ski lodge, private airline cabin, or whatever. They can strut their stuff and visit with their friends without any exposure to kidnappers, paparazzi, script flingers, assassins, ex-spouses, autograph brokers, process servers, psycho fans, marriage proposals, or gossip columnists. He gets up off the bar stool and resumes his slow orbit, scanning the Nipponese quadrant. It's a lot of guys in suits, as usual. Some of them are talking to gringos from the industry. And a large part of the quadrant, in the back corner, has been screened off by a temporary partition. Big board again. Hero figures out which tables are behind the partition, starts reading off the names. The only one he recognizes immediately is an American. L. Bob Reif, the cable television monopolist. A very big name to the industry, though he's rarely seen. He seems to be meeting with a whole raft of big Nipponese honchos. Hero has his computer memorize their names so that later he can check them against the CIC database and find out who they are. It has the look of a big and important meeting. Secret Agent Hero, how are you doing? Hero turns around. Juanita is right behind him, standing out in her black and white avatar, looking good anyway. How are you? She asks.
Fine, how are you?
Great. I hope you don't mind talking to me in this ugly facts of life avatar.
Juanita, I would rather look at a facts of you than most other women in the flesh.
Thanks, you sly bastard. It's been a long time since we've talked, she observes, as though there's something remarkable about this. Something's going on. I hope you're not going to mess around with Snow Crash, she says. David won't listen to me.
What am I, a model of self-restraint? I'm exactly the kind of guy who would mess around with it.
I know you better than that. You're impulsive, but you're very clever. You have those sword-fighting reflexes.
What does that have to do with drug abuse?
It means you can see bad things coming and deflect them. It's an instinct, not a learned thing. As soon as you turned around and saw me, that look came over your face, like, what's going on? What the hell is Juanita up to?
I didn't think you talked to people in the metaverse.
I do if I want to get through to someone in a hurry, she says. And I'll always talk to you.
Why me?
You know, because of us. Remember, because of our relationship, when I was writing this thing? You and I are the only two people who can ever have an honest conversation in the metaverse.
You're just the same mystical crank you always were,
he says, smiling so as to make this a charming statement. You can't imagine how mystical and cranky I am now, Hero.
How mystical and cranky are you?
She eyes him warily. Exactly the same way she did when he came into her office years ago. It comes into his mind to wonder why she is always so alert in his presence. In college, he used to think that she was afraid of his intellect, but he's known for years that this is the last of her worries. At Black Sun Systems, he figured that it was just typical female guardedness. Juanita was afraid he was trying to get her into the sack. But this, too, is pretty much out of the question. At this late date in his romantic career, he's just canny enough to come up with a new theory. She's being careful because she likes him. She likes him in spite of herself. He's exactly the kind of tempting but utterly wrong romantic choice that a smart girl like Juanita must learn to avoid. That's definitely it. There's something to be said for getting older. By way of answering his question, she says, I have an associate I'd like you to meet. A gentleman and a scholar named Lagos. He's a fascinating guy to talk to.
Is he your boyfriend?
She thinks this one over rather than lashing out instantaneously. My behavior at the Black Sun, to the contrary, I don't fuck every male I work with. And even if I did, Lagos is out of the question.
Not your type?
Not by a long shot.
What is your type, anyway?
Old, rich, unimaginative blondes with steady careers. This one almost slips by him. Then he catches it.
Well, I could dye my hair, and I'll get old eventually.
She actually laughs. It's a tension-releasing kind of outburst. Believe me, hero, I'm the last person you want to be involved with at this point.
Is this part of your church thing? He asks.
Juanita has been using her excess money to start her own branch of the Catholic Church. She considers herself a missionary to the intelligent atheists of the world.
Don't be condescending, she says. That's exactly the attitude I'm fighting. Religion is not for simpletons.
Sorry. This is unfair, you know. You can read every expression on my face, and I'm looking at you through a fucking blizzard.
It's definitely related to religion, she says. But this is so complex, and your background in that area is so deficient, I don't know where to begin.
Hey, I went to church every week in high school. I sang in the choir.
I know. That's exactly the problem. 99% of everything that goes on in most Christian churches has nothing whatsoever to do with the actual religion. Intelligent people all notice this sooner or later, and they conclude that the entire 100% is bullshit, which is why atheism is connected with being intelligent in people's minds.
So, none of that stuff I learned in church has anything to do with what you're talking about?
Juanita thinks for a while, eyeing him. Then she pulls a hypercard out of her pocket. Here, take this. As Hero pulls it from her hand, the hypercard changes from a jittery two-dimensional figment into a realistic cream-colored, finely textured piece of stationery. Printed across its face in glossy black ink is a pair of words. The first word, B-A-B-E-L, Babel. The second word, Infocalypse.